Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 18. Numbers, chapter 18. We'll read verses 28 through 32 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Numbers chapter 18, verses 28 through 32. Numbers 18, verses 28 through 32. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part there out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Lord, unto the Levites, as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And let's finish on verse 32 together. Ready? And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for being here in this place. Lord, hundreds and I'm sure thousands of times this week, we as a people have asked you for your presence here. Lord, our visitors here are here. Your regular attenders are here. There are people here that just need this place and this sermon for today. Lord, eternity hinges on it. Our ability to make it another week might hinge on it. May we listen. May we be careful to get the truth that you have for us. Fill our preacher with your power, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to talk to you about, the title of the sermon is this, Spiritual Pollution. Spiritual pollution. I have to say, I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but in the book of Numbers, while you were reading with Brother Bush earlier, it mentions the heave offering. Anytime I think of somebody heaving, I don't consider that much of an offering. I don't know when you were reading that, did you happen to notice that, or am I only the only weirdo here? The heave offering. Well, I live out in Jaredstown, and if you go out Highway 81 and you're heading south, you turn right on 51, you go up to the top of the mountain, and then you'll go west on Highway 45. You come to McCubbin's Hollow Road, and then you're going to turn left. When you start going down McCubbin's Hollow Road, there's an old one-lane steel bridge there. It goes up over what we call Back Creek. Right there at that bridge is a party spot for people. People go out there and they'll party. I call them the tattoo people. I think when they're swimming and have bathing suits on, but they have so many tattoos, you're not real sure. You know, those tattoos could become clothing from the looks of it. Over that, you know, to get to my house, you go over the river and through the woods. That's just the way it is. Now, when they're out there doing their partying, I could not tell you how much they litter and pollute that area. I'll show you. When I drove by there this morning, I took a trash bag with me. I really get tired of it. It's so beautiful of a drive out there, and then you drive past that spot, and they've been out partying all night long, and they've got all their trash. I drove by there this morning and had Mrs. Owens get out of the car and gather up a bunch of trash. I mean, it's just filthy. Cigarette boxes everywhere. Bud Light, most of them are empty. This one's full. We'll keep this one, take it home with us. There's Bud Light, and there's all sorts of, I don't know what this is called, Corona. I guess that's beer. There's some potato chips. I don't know if there are any in there. I didn't have it. I mean, this thing's just full of trash. I gathered what I could in just a moment, but I could have been out there probably all afternoon gathering the pollution from the partying. They pollute the creek out there, whether they realize it or not. I'm not, again, I don't want to be inappropriate, but I'll just tell you what I've seen. I've seen it more than one time, but just again, not many weeks ago. You look upstream at that back creek, and there was a couple guys down there fishing. One guy was urinating in the creek. Downstream, 100 yards, were people swimming. Well, that's not as bad as a public pool. But I thought, what pollution is one pollutes the playground of another? Pollution. The Bible says here in Numbers 18:32, and ye shall bear no sin by reason of it. When ye have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Bible talks here about polluting the holy things. When I read that verse, I began to think, I wonder how often pollution is mentioned in the Bible. And it's mentioned often. I'll share some of that with you this morning. But, you know, even in our culture, in our society, there are different kinds of pollution. For instance, there's what they call lead pollution. And it can affect your mental development and your kidney function, especially is it something that we're very careful of around the younger children. There's carbon monoxide pollution that affects your oxygen balance, and then it can affect your nervous system. Nitrogen dioxide pollution. That's what causes the smog and what they would consider acid rain. The Olympic Games in China were concerned with the smog. It's a very big industrial, huge city that they're in there in Beijing, and they have the pollution problems. Particulate matter is a type of pollution which affects our breathing and causes some lung damage. Stratospheric ozone depleters, and that's what causes skin cancer and eye problems. We have water pollution and land pollution and noise pollution. Do you know that there are 14,000 deaths a day that are caused by contaminated water? Now, what does the Bible, say, or what does the word pollute actually mean? What does it mean if something is being polluted, or what defines the word to pollute or pollution? Pollution means, now the Old Testament word pollution means to desecrate, or to wound, or to defile something, or to trample something underfoot. The word pollution shows up also in the New Testament. In the New Testament, that word means to make something unclean, to make something impure. It means to call that which is holy common. Now, Webster's Dictionary says to pollute something is to contaminate it. And I think all those pretty well fit together. I think the Old Testament, the New Testament, even our modern dictionary pretty well emphasizes the word pollute and pollution the same way. To pollute is to damage something. To pollute is to tarnish something. To pollute is to cloud that which was at one time clear. To pollute means to taint something. It is to pervert something. It is to corrupt something. It is to make something that was once sweet to become foul. To pollute means to debase or debauch. To pollute means to poison or to infect or to make dirty or to virtually add sewage to it, to that point of being tainted. The Bible, they were often concerned about their water supplies. They wanted their water supplies to stay clean and pure. And one of their fears was is that sewage would get into the water supply, thereby polluting it. Just like the illustration that I gave you of a man upstream fishing, polluting the water for the people downstream that were swimming. There is also, though, and the biggest part of the concept of this thing called pollution in the Bible, God is talking to us not just about what we call physical pollution, though that is a part of it. He is primarily talking to us about what we would consider spiritual pollution. I wish that I could, in your mind, develop your attitude. We are in America. We're trying to become very pollution conscious. We're trying not to destroy our planet, and I'm good with that. But I really wish that we would zero in a little more on spiritual pollution. You would probably take care of what we call that filthy, dirty physical pollution if we would take care of the spiritual pollution, because those that want to be spiritually clean are clean people, both spiritually and physically. But let me talk to you for a while today. I entitled the sermon, Spiritual Pollution. I got to going through the Bible, and once I seen that God in the Bible talked about pollution and things that were polluted, I thought, I wonder what things God is concerned with in regard to this thing of pollution. And I found these things. First of all, God speaks of polluted cities. It says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 1, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. He's talking about cities that become polluted. Now, our cities, the Bible says here, we need to be careful. Our cities can become contaminated, poisoned with sinful sewage. I'm talking about the actual city, a city becoming known for pollution. And I'm not just talking about now some trash on the roadside. I'm talking about spiritual pollution in a city. For many, many years, I lived up near Gary, Indiana. When I would go into Gary, Indiana, I'm telling you, it had two forms of pollution there. It was trashy and dirty, and the people showed no respect whatsoever. You go into a public park, and there was just trash everywhere. If you drive down an alley, it looked like maybe a place where they would store garbage, because it was just trashy and dirty. But not only that, it was a city known for sin. A polluted city. You take, for instance, San Francisco, California. It has built a reputation that it is polluted with sodomy. You take, for instance, Chicago, Illinois. It has a reputation of being polluted with the gangs. You go back in history and you find out that your Al Capones and the gangsters way, way back. When people think of Chicago, so often they will think of the gangs and the street gangs and the mafia and the crime. What do we have there? A reputation of a city that has been polluted by its sin. You take, for instance, Las Vegas, Nevada. Polluted by its gambling. You take New Orleans, Louisiana, polluted by its Mardi Gras and its nudity and its prostitution. You take Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What's this city known for? It's booze. It's alcohol. There's a city that has become polluted because of its sin. Miami, Florida. Very, very quickly becoming known for all the drug trafficking and everything that goes on there. Why? They're down there, they're on the coast, and people coming in from other countries and the moving of drugs. New York City, polluted with crime. You know, Hollywood, California, polluted with liberalism and immorality. The pollution of a city. I see what God was saying when he said, woe to her. That is a filthy and polluted, oppressing city. That makes sense to me. You know something? I would like it if our city and the city in which you live here in our county or in this area, I would like to help your city not to be a polluted city. You know, my goal as a pastor, of course, is to lead and love and help the flock of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, but I want to make a difference in our area. I want to clean up our city and clean up our county and clean up our state. Hey, I'd like to help clean up the East Coast. I'd like to help clean up America. I'd like to get America back on track. And there's so many people that are giving up on America. Please, I beg of you, don't give up on our country. Don't give up on our country. Hey, let's fight the spiritual pollution of our area. Hey, let's make our city as clean as we can. And I mean, even to the point that don't you be throwing your trash out your window here in our area. That's trashy. People ought to pass through this area and say, this is a decent, clean little city. This is a nice little place to live. I ought to want to live here, and you ought to want to live here. Clean things up and don't be trashy. But I even go further than that. Let's try to help with the spiritual pollution, because if you get spiritual pollution under control, then that will end up resulting in physical pollution being taken care of. Oh, I want our city and our cities to be clean, and our county, and I want this 4-state area. We have people that come from Pennsylvania. We have people that come to our church from Maryland and Virginia and West Virginia. Every single service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I want your area to be clean. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with us wanting to live in an area that's kept clean and neat and nice. Hey, but let's take that a step further. Let's clean it up spiritually. I have debated about whether I wanted to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to take a moment and talk about it. I had a man from our state government, and not locally, but from the state government that's been trying to see me. He's called, of course you all know, it's election time. And they had called and tried to get an appointment with me and I was on vacation, and I was too busy preaching, didn't have time to see him. Finally, I decided I would sit down and see what they had to say. I set them up appointment. They had to wait, just like you do. They had to wait, came and stood outside my office door. I'm not trying to be unkind toward them, but just like you do, I happen to believe the people in my church are just as important as some big shot in the government. They waited outside my door, came in and sat down, and I was very, very pleased. Now, I'm sure that somewhere in the conversation, they were doing some politicking with me. But when they came in, they sit down and they said, "Let me say something to you, Pastor Owens. I don't know you. I think this is the very first time we've met, but I feel like I know you." He said, "If I may," he said, "I want you to know, you and your church are making a difference in this area." He said, we hear about you. We meet your people out and about." He said, "I want you to know something. I feel like that I need to tell you." He said, "I want you to know, me and those associated with me, we're against abortion, we're against sodomy." And he said, "I feel like you ought to know that." He said, "I think it's good that you know that there's somebody that is in the political arena that has some conservative beliefs." I said, "I am glad to know that." He said, "I don't know that I came here to try to get anything from you, Pastor Owens. I think I came here today to say to you, keep doing what you're doing because you're helping our area." Well, I'll tell you what. I was tickled to death with that. I was tickled to death with it. Now, I'm sure he wanted me to be tickled to death with that. But I was. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I want to make a difference. And we ought to want to make a difference. I don't want to just make a difference on these acres of land that we have right here called the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I want to make a difference on your street and on your county road and in your county and in our local government. I want to make a difference. Now, we're not going to all go out and join the moral majority today, but we are the moral majority, by the way. But I'm not going out and we're not all going to join up with some political campaign. We're going to keep on serving our King and doing what we can to make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. Hey, this is my town. This is my county. And we need to make sure that we don't have a polluted city. And the Bible talks about pollution. And there's pollution in our city. We want to fix it. You say, "Well, how are we going to fix it? We're going to get picket lines?" No, we're going to get soul winning efforts. We're going to change it one life at a time. Secondly, the Bible talks about polluted blood. Polluted blood. Ezekiel 16:6 says this, "When I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. And I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." Ezekiel 16:22, many verses later, says, "And all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth when thou wast naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood." The best I know, and I'm sure there are other ways to see this verse, but what about this pollution in the blood? Is it, of course, when our blood gets polluted, that's going to make us sick. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You get pollution in your blood, and that's going to make you sick. But now we take it from a spiritual standpoint. Let me warn all of us, and those of you that are single and unmarried, those of you that are rearing children, be careful. You understand that there's a bloodline. Mom and dad, they pass on, and that passes on to the children. Can I recommend something to you? You will pollute the spiritual bloodline if you don't help your children to marry right. To marry right. Our children, you know, the Bible teaches that saved people are supposed to marry saved people. If not, you're going to pollute that spiritual bloodline. And the Bible, and listen, the Bible very clearly teaches that spiritual people are to marry spiritual people. If not, you are going to pollute, you are going to taint, you are going to contaminate that spiritual bloodline. Let's be so careful what we teach our children about who they marry and make sure that we're teaching them to marry right. Hey, you gotta marry somebody that's faithful to church and marry somebody that loves the Lord and marry somebody that wants to rear their children right. You better be careful taking your kids out and get them all involved in all sorts of secular programs outside the church because they're going to, hey, not even intentionally, but they're going to find themselves yoking up with people that are not under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to find a polluted bloodline. Hey, the pollution of the blood. Hey, let's not pollute our own blood kin. Let's be careful with our kids. Let's not pollute them. Let's rear them for God. Let's keep them in church. If you missed the sermon that we had on Wednesday night about multi-generational Christianity and Christian education, you need to get it. Because, you know, we all ought to set a goal of having our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren in church serving God. That ought to be our goal. What are we talking about? The bloodline. The bloodline. I thank God that my daddy is a Baptist preacher, and I thank God that I'm a Baptist preacher, and I thank God my sons, my son-in-law are Baptist preachers, and I hope someday to rear some grand boys that are Baptist preachers and some great-grandsons that are Baptist preachers. God knows if somebody doesn't get on the ball and bring a little respect back to the ministry, we're going to lose this country. And I hope that to be a heritage. What are we talking about? The bloodline. The bloodline. The bloodline. I hate to say it, but I have, you know, way back, I've got some grandparents and some folks that we had to do some changing if the heritage was going to be different. Because way back, family history's full of drunks and druggies, divorce and heartache. There come a point where we said we got to change this. We got to change the bloodline. And I'm talking about polluted blood. The Bible talks about polluted cities. It talks about polluted blood. Then it speaks of God's name being polluted. He talks about His name being contaminated. The Bible says in Isaiah 48, verse number 11, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another." God's name being used the wrong way pollutes God's name. Jeremiah 34:16, it says, "But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant, and every man his handmaid, whom ye have set at liberty at their pleasure to return." He said, you have polluted the name of God. I said, I don't want my name polluted. God's name being contaminated with the sewage of life. God's name being contaminated with the poisons of religion. There's far more to this thing, and God is far holier than He is given credit in this day and age. God's name is holy. We need to lift up the name of Jehovah God. Let me make it very clear. I am not talking about Muhammad. I'm not talking about one of the gods of our nation. I'm talking about the one true and holy God, not Jehovah of the old King James Bible. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of associating with the God of the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac. I'm not ashamed of that. Hey, we have polluted the name of God. You know, in the Old Testament, when they would take the Scripture, there were people that would write the Scripture. In the New Testament, there were people that would write and copy Scripture. They were scribes or writers. It is said traditionally, when they would be writing, when they would come to needing to write the word or the name Jehovah, before they would write the name Jehovah, they would stop. They would put their quill or their pen down. They would go and wash their bodies. They would change their garment. They would come back and get a new quill or a new pen. And then would they write the name Jehovah. Why? Because that name above every name, that name was precious and holy, and they did not want the name of God or the name of Jehovah to be tainted. They wanted the exaltation of Jesus. The exaltation of God. The exaltation of Jehovah. The exaltation of the Holy One. Did you know that God's last name is not damn? And it's wrong for you to talk about my God that way. You know, if you had any sense about you, if somebody went around using your daddy's name in vain, that'd bother you. Well, he's my daddy. God speaks of His name being polluted. You know, I don't think God wants to be associated with everything that His name is associated with today. Everything that has the word Jesus or God stamped on it doesn't mean it's godly or Jesus-like. Politicians use Him. It's election time. Let's talk about Jesus. And then we won't hear from you for about 3 years and 6 months. And then when it's time for you to get reelected, let's talk about Jesus. Well, I talk about Him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday and in January and February and March and April and May and June and July and August and September and October and November and December and in 2007 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm not going to use Him to get put into office. Oh, the name of God is being polluted, used as a campaign tool. The Hollywood whores claim Him when they need Him and live totally contrary to Him the rest of the time. People say, well, she's a Christian, she's a whore. God speaks of His name being polluted. God speaks of our cities being polluted. God speaks of our blood and the bloodlines being polluted. God speaks of His house being polluted. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 14, it says, Moreover, all the chief of the priests, the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which He had hallowed in Jerusalem. God here speaks of the house of God being polluted. You know, if the house of God is polluted, probably it is that God's day is polluted. Used to be that Sunday was for the Lord. Now it's for Sunday night football. And for somebody to stay home and watch Sunday night football instead of come to church, you picked your God. Oh, the pollution of God's house. The pollution of God's day. Polluted church services. Polluted. Polluted. God's house is being polluted. What would you think if you came in here and there was raw sewage in the aisles of the church? So get that cleaned up. That's disgusting. Some churches across America need to clean them up. Clean them up. God's day is still a holy day. God's house is still a holy place. Oh, God does not live in this place, but this is where we meet with God. This is a place where we meet with our God. And the church, it's supposed to be different. Churches everywhere want to make it so that inside the church, it's just like outside the church, so you feel comfortable coming in. You're not supposed to feel comfortable. This is a holy place. You ought to talk different, dress different, act different, smell different when you're at church. Why? It's God's house. We're polluting it. We're polluting it. We're polluting the house of our God. Hey, let me even make that a little more practical. We need to. Some of you that pollute my pews by eating candy all the way through the service and putting all your candy trash in the back of the Lord's Supper cup holders. You come on Wednesday nights, I'll teach you a little something about character. Those of you that throw your trash on the church property. You young people, when you're in these restrooms, don't you dare mark on my stalls with your ink pens and write your graffiti. That's polluting. That is polluting God's house. There shouldn't be trash on the grounds and trash in the pews. There shouldn't be, hey, don't you take your knife out and cut on my bus seats. Hey, bus teenager, I find out you're cutting on my bus seats with a knife, you're liable to face the police. That's wrong. Those are God's buses. Those are God's pews. Those restroom facilities back there, they're God's. They're God's. Hey, how about a little revival of everybody just picking up trash when you see it around the church building? Oh, our churches become polluted. They come polluted with false doctrine. The teaching of salvation by works instead of the teaching of salvation by grace through faith. Pollution. The pollution of a ready acceptance of worldliness in the church. That's pollution. Pollution with the backslidden being comfortable. Can I tell you all something? If you are backslidden, you are welcome in this church. But I doubt that you'll stay comfortable. We love the backslidden here. We want you here. If you're backslidden away from God, you're welcome here. But if you don't get right, I'll probably rub you raw. Church is packed full of backslidden people, comfortable, sitting there. You're welcome to be here. We want you here. But we're not keeping you here because we're pleased with your backslidden condition. We're keeping you here trying to get you right with God. That's why polluted churches, polluted with backslidden that are comfortable. God said there is pollution in this world. I'll be honest. When I was studying this, but English, as I was studying the word pollution, I always thought the word pollution was something that we came up with. You know, here in America, like that sounds like a word that our government would come up with, pollution. That's like alternative lifestyle for the fairies. Everyone's got a polite way to make anything nasty smell good. Look at that on the ground. I bet that came out of a dog. We'll figure out how to make it smell good. That's the way the government is. But I thought, Brother English, I really did. As I was thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, this word pollution is probably something we dreamed up. And then I started noticing it in the Bible. No, it comes from God. It comes from God. God speaks about polluted cities and polluted blood and polluted, His name being polluted and His house being polluted. God also speaks of pollution in regard to this world. It says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world..." The pollutions of this world. What kind of pollutions are we seeing around this world? The humanism that is being taught throughout our country is at an outrageous rate of growth. You say, what do you mean by humanism? Well, you just do what makes you feel good. You decide what you think's best. You become your own conscience. You be your own God. No, I've got news for you. We have a God. He decides what's right and wrong. We're to obey Him. He even put it in a book so He would not be misunderstood. The exaltation of the human race above the God that created the race. As we seem to want to worship the created more than the creator. Our thinking is adequate. We so often today hear people say, well, I think, well, I feel, well, in my opinion, but what really counts is what God thinks, what God feels, and in God's opinion. The pollutions of this world. We're saving the trees. We're saving the whales and aborting 3,600 babies a day. Well, you're just brilliant, America. You're forced to recycle aluminum cans, but you can massacre babies. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? Oh my, the pollution of this world. The pollution of this life. This is more important. Hey, listen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me tell you, we use that to tell people stay away from worldly music, worldly things, worldly dress, all of that. But let me tell you, the word world there is the Greek word cosmos. Means loving this world system. Let me tell you one of the biggest mistakes that we as Christians are making. We've got this idea that the most important verse of the Bible is from Dairy Queen. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we may die. See, we are so attached to this world. This world's makeup, we forget there is an eternity. We will go to heaven. We're only going to be here a short time. Something that will calm some of you about the economy, if you just realize you're not going to do this very long, we're going where the streets are made of gold someday. Don't get your eyes off of heaven. Don't get your eyes off an eternal purpose. There's more to this than what meets the eye. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. My Father waits over the way to prepare a dwelling place for me there. The Bible says, love not this world, neither the things that are in this world. For any man that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We just love this world a little too much. Every once in a while, slap yourself spiritually and be reminded, we're only passing through. It's not going to last long. But the way we are and the pollution of this world, we get so attached to it. So attached, like this life is the only life. Well, my hope says no, because I'm trying my best not to worry about this one. 24/7, I'm trying to always think about the next life. The next life. But here the Bible speaks of the pollution of this world and the world's philosophies. The corruption that enters us by our lack of faith, that this life is the only life. I'm sorry, my friend, with your finances, with your future, with your friends, and with your family, you better remember one thing. There's another life. It's bigger, it's longer, it's more important than this piddly little life of 75 or 80 years. And we better put some more energy into the next one and less energy into this one. The pollution that's mentioned in the Bible. God said, your cities, they're polluted. That which is pure is mingled with sewage. God speaks of polluted blood. God speaks of His name being polluted. God speaks of His house being polluted. God speaks of the pollution of this world. God also speaks about preachers who are guilty of polluting the ministry and polluting the house of God. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, her prophets are like and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted this sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Here it's talking about them being light, fluffy. You know, the airy preachers with their airy sexual music, with their turtlenecks. Good God, good gravy, good devil. Let's all go down to the church where our whiny boy preaches. Preachers who are afraid to preach against sin. I'll tell you why. They're afraid to lose people. Let me explain something to you. If you're out there and you're stewing on the inside and smiling on the outside, let me tell you something. The other day, my granddaughter, Alexandra, was at our house. I'll tell you what, this thing of being a grandpa is the berries. I am having so much fun. She was at our house. I've listened to her mom and dad tell her many, many times about the outlet, the electrical outlet, not to touch it. Say, no, 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 no. Well, Alexandra and I are pretty close. She and I are pretty tight. She calls me Papaw. Alexandra and her Papaw are very close. If she's anywhere around and I come through, she's liable to turn your attention, her attention from you to me, unless you have food. But you know something? Yesterday at the house, I was sitting in the kitchen. I watched Alexandra look up at me, reach toward the outlet, put her hand on it. I slapped her hand. It's the first time. She's 2 years old. It's the first time I ever slapped her hand. Because up until now, that ain't my job. My job's to spoil that kid rotten and give her back to mom and dad. I don't have to change diapers. I don't have to make her cry. But at that moment, I felt like if I didn't, she could get hurt. And I wouldn't properly love her. Let me tell you something. I love the people of this church. I will slap your hand spiritually to keep you from being electrocuted by the devil and him destroying you. I don't do it. Hey, look, this is my son Joshua. Alexandra is his son, his daughter. Son, I didn't do it to hurt her. Matter of fact, after I did it, I was sitting in my chair and she was crying. I mean, you talk about a girl throwing a fit. She cried. She sat down. She turned over. She got into a ball. She covered her face. And it was loud. Long. I'm sitting in my chair going, oh, brother, back off, kid. And there's many a day when I walk out of this pulpit after having preached hard against sin, that I go to my office, and I curl up in a ball, and I say, oh, I want to hurt anybody. I thank Brother Tom Williamson. Every time I preach hard, he gives me a little note or sees me and it says, preacher, I love you. I know today was a rough day for you. You had to slap a hand. Thank you, Brother Williamson. I appreciate that. A preacher that won't make sin bad does not love you. You can't candy coat the wickedness of this world and convince people to stay away from it. Oh my, the preachers are afraid to preach against sin. The people of our world, I'll tell you why. Preachers are afraid to preach because they're afraid to lose people. I don't want to lose anybody. Let me tell you something. We don't candy coat sin around here. I don't know if we had another 50 people, I do not know where we would put them. And this is a huge auditorium. I really think people are, there's some that recognize the fact that if somebody tells you the truth, it's because they love you and they care about you. You know, people in our world and our society, and this is going to seem like a slap to somebody in here, but it's not intended as something personal to you, only if the Holy Spirit makes it personal. We today, preachers are almost scared to death to preach because the American society is so emotional. They are so emotional. They have no spiritual toughness. They feel that they wear their feelings on their cuff. You almost have to qualify anything that you're going to say that could possibly hurt somebody's feelings. You could preach the truth, but you got to qualify the truth for everybody's feelings. I spent a lot of time maneuvering in my sermons trying not to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, when Jesus said, you whited sepulchers filled with dead men's bones, you hypocrites, you vipers, I didn't see one superlative or relaxed adjective in there. Trying to calm them as he had to tell them they were wrong. My goal is not to hurt anybody. But preachers have to tiptoe through the tulips with Tiny Tim today. Trying to pacify everybody and their emotions and their feelings. America's emotionally out of control. Spiritually emotional basket cases, and they come to church. If you stand up and tell the truth, they storm out. They've got their, they're leaving tail feathers everywhere. Preachers pollute the pulpits, joining the Bible of the Month Club. Preachers pollute the pulpit, pollute their churches. God helping us, we'll use a little wisdom about this. I've seen in the 80s a generation of preachers that wanted to build big buildings so bad that they built big buildings, but they had to trim their messages to make their building payments. And what that means is they got such a great big building payment that if they stand up and preach like I'm preaching this morning, they might run somebody off, and they really needed the money to make their building payment, so they had to make a choice. Payment or the Bible. I'm apologize to everybody here. I realize my parking lot's full. I'd rather be able to preach the truth than do you have an empty for you to have an empty parking spot between your car on both sides so they don't do one of those door dingers. I realize you're packed in here. I look out some of these pews, and we need to get Richard Simmons in here to do some aerobics. My son JB seen Richard Simmons, I think, for the first time on television recently. He said, that guy, he seems queer. I said, JB, good perception. We were talking about it just last night. Hey, listen, I realize some of the pews are packed. I realize our air conditioners cannot keep up with this building. I realize that, but can I tell you something? I wish some of you, do you know there are people if I had 400 more seats in this auditorium, we could probably fill it, but there are people that won't come to church because it's too full. I have to tell you, I don't want to build a building that I can't afford where I have to trim my message and stop preaching the truth. You know what I wish then? I wish all of us would say, you know what, if we got to put five people in this pew, it's a little uncomfortable. I'm willing. I'm still coming to church. I'm going to be faithful. Hey, there's an economy struggle. Happens at churches too. I want us to be careful. Preachers that pollute the pulpit, afraid to be called old-fashioned. I don't say this to offend you, but it will somebody. I don't say it to that. I'm not contemporary. This is not a contemporary church. We will not have two services, one being contemporary. We are an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, Baptist, soul-winning, separated church. Period. I'm not going to try to trick you into what we are. I just tell you the truth. There are preachers everywhere that would not dare say that. They don't want to be associated with the old-time religion. That's too straight-laced. Afraid to be called that. There are preachers that won't tell the church gossip that she's wrong. There are those that are working so hard at being politically correct, they're no longer biblically correct. What are we talking about? Pastors and preachers that are polluting the old-time religion. Adding the sewage in with the clean water. And then finally, and I'm finished, there is the pollution of the doctrine of salvation. This book teaches, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. The Bible teaches that you are not saved by your works. It is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are a Baptist church. We have a baptistry. There is water in that baptistry. That water will not get you to heaven. You will trust Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You will trust that to get you to heaven, lock, stock, and barrel. It's not 99% the gospel and 1% you. It's 100% Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that will get you to heaven. We don't pollute the gospel here. We make it clear. It's by grace, through faith. Jesus does it all. It's a free gift. It is not by church membership. It is not by your good deeds or your works. It's not by you giving money to the church. Do you say, Brother Owens, I've been given a lot of money to this church to get myself to heaven. If you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell, and we have no refunds. Talking about the pollution, spiritual pollution of the church, God, and God's people. To all of you, to everyone in the house, for your children's sake, for your grandchildren's sake, for the next generation's sake, I ask of you, be careful that you're not like the opening illustration where somebody's upstream polluting everything for people downstream. The pollution of life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye.